Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast, the podcast that is dedicated towards bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. I want to thank you all once again for coming along with me on this ride and on this journey. If you listened to one of my previous episodes, you know that I had Chief Vern Riddick on. Really appreciate him coming on. And after the show, you know, we kind of talk a little bit after, and he really helped me to realize something. And that, well, I always knew that how much I missed law enforcement. I didn't realize how much I would miss it. You know, when you're kind of in it, you know, a lot of times we kind of talk trash and say, you know, I can't wait to retire and just sit on the beach or something along those lines. But I miss it a lot. I miss it a lot. I actually dream about it quite often. And he helped me to realize that one of the reasons that I miss it so much is because of the circumstances of which I end up leaving, right? I end up retiring sort of early, right? Early for me is 24 years in. And one of the reasons I retired is because of the heart condition that I end up developing. Now, I'm not going to rehash that. I'm sure you all are very much well aware of that. But it was really, it really helped me to understand that, you know, having something that's taken away from you so early really can play with your mind and feel as if there is really no closure. Not leaving or being able to leave in your own terms really does mean something. I want to thank him for helping me to really see that. And so this podcast really helps me to kind of decompress, to very much of a catharsis for me to get a lot of things off my chest. It helps me to stay connected to law enforcement, helps me to really still feel as if I'm part of the team. And I appreciate all the members of law enforcement who have reached out to me and been very encouraging to me in this time. And I encourage them to do what they're doing and keep on doing what they're doing and to be safe. Having said that, let's get into the episode. Of course, I want to encourage you all to make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share these episodes. I want to inform you all that this is the last episode that I'm going to publish on this particular hosting site. A little bit of a technical education you're going to get right now, but as podcasters, a lot of times what we do is we have a hosting site that we affiliate with or whatever, and we put our product on that hosting site, and that hosting site will distribute it to LinkedIn, to Apple Podcasts, to YouTube, to Facebook, and all these different places that we want it to go to get notifications out. And it'll distribute them to the listening platforms, Google Play, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Alexa, or Amazon, or whatever. So this is the last day that I'm going to be using this particular website for those purposes. Now, I say that because I'm hoping that there is no disturbance or interruption in the information I'm giving out. And I hope that whatever platform that you're listening to it on, that you'll still be able to get this information. So if come next week in April, if you notice that you don't get the notification that you did, please shoot me an email or contact me somehow, cptlhunter@gmail.com. And let me know if the regular way that you're being notified is not that way anymore, because I want to make sure that everybody's getting these notifications. That's why I was asking for those notifications before, so I can know who's doing what and how you're getting this information, because I know that this day and time are coming and other things as well. So I'm switching to a new platform called Podbean. Not that you all are so much interested in the platform, but one of the reasons I'm switching is because this new platform, I'll be able to do live shows, and that way we can have kind of call in sessions. I want to start doing live sessions on either Facebook or Instagram. That way people can call in and ask questions, you know, kind of ask a cop kind of a question type of thing. So that's the reasons that I'm switching over. The reason I'm not switching now is because I paid for the month and I want to get my money's worth. So as I release this in March, so starting in April, we'll be switching over to something new. So I want to encourage you all to rate, subscribe, and share, and make sure that you're following me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Captain Hunter's Podcast on Facebook. You can support the podcast through Venmo, Cash App, PayPal. All of those are CPTL Hunter. Captain Hunter's Podcast on the Patreon page. Please make sure that you're rating, subscribing, sharing, and that you are supporting the podcast. As I just mentioned, it takes a little bit of coin to be able to put these episodes up. So anything that you do would very much be supportive of that. Without further ado, everyone, let's get into the episode. As we're all locked in the house in this month of March, Miss Stephanie Lawrence credit repair specialist is going to educate us about how to go about repairing our credit. And of course, if you need her assistance even further, feel free to reach out to her and to contact her. We're all locked down, so what better time to make sure that we get our financial houses in order, right? So a little bit about Ms. Stephanie Lawrence. She is a credit repair specialist who's best known for her take you by the hand style of teaching. Since 2007, she has paved the way for thousands of people to achieve 700 plus credit scores so they can purchase their dream home, qualify for lower interest rates, and start their own businesses. After struggling with her own credit challenges and paying double-digit interest rates, Stephanie said enough is enough and went on a mission to improve her own credit score over 200 points and help change the lives of business owners who wanted to live their dream without enduring the punishment of their past mistakes. Stephanie believes that you can bounce back from personal credit obstacles and build the businesses that allow you to have the financial freedom. She's got a lot going on. She created the multiple business profits formula, which teaches real estate investors how to establish the credit they need to increase their purchasing power, 10 times their business growth, and finally run the businesses of their dream. She's the author of Credit Repair Blueprint and Business Credit Unveiled. She's a credit specialist, speaker, trainer, author, and creator of the Funding for Freedom formula. She can be reached at Stephanie@PrecisionCreditRestoration.com. Stephanie@PrecisionCreditRestoration.com. She can be followed on Instagram, The Credit Repair Queen, Facebook, The Credit Repair Queen, LinkedIn, Stephanie Lawrence. So that's her contact. For all of you listeners out there who are struggling with some type of mess that you made out of your finances, here is a chance and an opportunity for you to tune in, to listen, and to make some contacts with Ms. Stephanie Lawrence, and she can help you to get back on track. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is the interview with the credit repair queen, Ms. Stephanie Lawrence. We're on with Stephanie Lawrence, great last name, by the way. Stephanie Lawrence, the credit repair queen. Thank you so much for being on Captain Hunter's podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Truly, the honor is all mine. So if you would just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this line of work.
Yes, I've been a credit specialist for 12 years now, and my goal is to help thousands of people achieve 700 plus credit scores so they can purchase their first home, reduce their interest rates, possibly buy a new car, and improve their overall quality of life. And that's what happened for me. When I started in the credit repair industry 12 years ago, I had just had my daughter and I was looking for a better means of transportation. So I needed a new vehicle. So I had a job at the time paying me pretty well. So I thought just bringing my pay stub to the dealership was going to be my key to my new truck. So I went to the dealership in a great mood and picked out what I wanted. I went and test drove it, came back, and they ran my credit and they told me I was approved. So little old me thinking that, okay, I got an approval, I'm good to go. It wasn't until I signed the paperwork and found out that my payments were $535 monthly at a 24.5 interest rate. All right, guys, so for those of you who don't know anything about interest rates, this is terrible. You never, ever, ever want to be stuck with a double-digit interest rate, much less something that's in the 20s, okay? So, you know, struggling with this payment, it really, really let me know that I was in a dire need to change my situation. I was also denied a mortgage loan when I wanted to buy a house. And those were the indicators that my credit score was just terrible. And I needed to do something about it. I wanted better for myself. I wanted better for my daughter. I wanted a better life for us. So basically, I had the mindset that enough is enough. So I decided to try to improve my situation on my own. I went to the good old Google search engine that we all go to when we're looking for information. And I also went to YouTube. But what I realized is that the information that I was getting and the tips I was learning from various people and various books was not really helping me out that much, because I saw my credit score drop even more. It was at a 535 and then it went 78.
That is absolutely crazy.
It is, right? It totally is. But I was doing things all wrong, all backwards. I wasn't getting the results I wanted because I was disputing online, which you should never, ever, ever do. I was paying off old collection debt, which wasn't improving my credit score at all. And I didn't understand why. And so that information just wasn't available to let me know that, okay, this is not the right steps to take. So I said, okay, what is my next move going to be? I definitely want to get out of the situation, but I got to do something. So I decided to go out and actually get trained on exactly what I needed to do to improve my credit. I found a mentor who had been in the industry for about 23 years, so lots of experience, and they trained on how to fix your own credit and how to start your own credit repair company. So I knew that this was the missing piece for me. I was like, yeah, this is what I need to do. This is what I want in my life. So I took the remaining of my savings and also got a portion of it from my dad, called my dad, and was like, hey, you know, can you help me out? Program. And he said yes. And so I flew out to Phoenix, Arizona, and got trained. And when I came home, I implemented everything I learned. And what I was able to do was boost my credit score over 200 points in just a matter of 4 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was definitely something that blew my mind and something that I was ready to share with others. So I decided to help my close family members, my close friends, and see if it will work for them as well. Because I'm like, you know, it worked for me. It should be able to work again. And so when those results started to come in and I said, oh, wow, this really works. Like, okay. And that's when I knew that this is what I was supposed to be doing. They were so happy receiving those results and having that burden lifted off of them that it made me happy. And that's when I said, okay, this is what I want to do. And this is what I want to pursue as a business. And that's how my company started.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story. I wanted to talk a little bit about how you and I kind of hooked up. And I want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Cameron Norfleet, the Realtors Investor, who also has a podcast. Now, I did not know that you did a couple of videos with him, which I should have known, right? I should have known. He and I actually, our childhood friends, kind of grew up together. So we're really, really good friends. I didn't know he had a podcast, and I certainly, I'm going to have him on when he retires from his current job and does the investing thing full time. I want to give him a shout out. And this podcast is about bridging the divide between the police and the community. And so the reason that I wanted to have, I talk about how to make the police better, how to make law enforcement better. But I also think that it's very important for the community to be better. And if we are running around with low credit, bad credit, can't get loans, you know, stuck in these situations, then we are never going to get anywhere as a people, as a community, and therefore people are going to always think negatively of us. So I think it's incredibly important that we get ourselves together and build that credit and build the businesses that we need. And that's kind of where I want you and I to kind of focus on is it's great that we are, our lives are together and we're getting together, but we need to build these businesses up in our communities. So that's
I totally agree with that. Absolutely. Credit is so vital in today's society because everywhere you turn, it really determines whether or not you can make that move, right? And achieve the goals that you're setting out for yourself. And then the prices that you pay for pretty much everything. And when we're stuck in that place, it really weighs on us mentally and emotionally as well. I found that I was, you know, not as happy as I am today, you know, and it wears on you. And so, like you said, it affects your decision making, it affects our community, and we all need to empower one another to take it more seriously and to really take control of our financial future, because it really determines everything in today's society. America is run on credit, and a lot of people don't realize that having great credit is worth more than having $100,000 in the bank, because you take that credit and literally go into a bank, go into a dealership and sign your name because they know you're credit worthy and you have access to the things that you want. So it really provides an easier life and less shame. Like I know a lot of clients that come to me, they're like, I'm just ashamed. Like I don't even want to apply for a 10% discount because I know I'm going to get denied. or I don't want them to run my credit and think of me as less of a person, right? And so, you know, it carries that sense of guilt as well. And so I really think it's all of our mission to go out there and spread the word and spread the knowledge and just inspire and empower each other to really take having a better credit score seriously.
Wow, that is some powerful stuff that you just talked about. And there's a lot of things I really, really want to get into. So let's start at the beginning here. So explain to us what credit is. And we know it's important, and you said it's you know, it's more valuable than having $100,000 in the bank. America's run on credit. And so just explain to us, as a millennial person or a young person, if a young person is listening to this, talk about the value of credit that they will need and what that means.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're a millennial, you should know that you want to get started early because, you know, when you get into the job world and let's say you're up for a promotion, you can be denied a promotion because of your credit. They will look at your credit and that can stand in your way of getting a promotion. Even security clearances run your credit. I have a lot of clients that have security clearances, and when they're up for reevaluation, they run to me and they're like, oh my gosh, I need to get this cleaned up because my security clearance may be denied. People have lost jobs because of this. So it's something wow. You really, really want. Yes, you really, I've seen it so many times. I've even had to do interviews with the decision makers because they're looking at their credit, and I have to vouch for them that they're on their credit improvement journey, that they're taking it seriously, and that, you know, it's not a reflection of who they are as a person. So you don't want someone to make a decision about you as a person due to your financial habits and due to your credit score, because that's what your credit score is. It's a reflection of your financial habits. If you do not take your credit card payment seriously and you're like, oh, I'll just pay it next month, it'll be reflected on your credit report and your score will reflect that. And so as a lender, as a creditor, they're going to, you know, possibly deny you because they're looking at what is the likelihood that this person is going to default on this loan or default on this credit card within the next 90 days. That is exactly what your credit score is. Telling them the likelihood of you defaulting or paying late on a loan, on a line of credit in the next 90 days.
You mentioned, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm? No, but you mentioned something that I think that I really don't want to brush over. You mentioned something along the lines of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that mm-hmm. a credit score is a snapshot of you. What did you say? It's a snapshot of you and
it's a snapshot and a reflection of your financial habits.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then as a police officer, when people try to apply for police departments, they actually check their credit scores. For a long time, mm-hmm. I didn't understand that, but you're explaining mm-hmm. it why, and you're telling them about their financial habits, and so that is very important. And I did not know that people have lost jobs and people have been denied promotions because of that. That's profound to think about that.
Because, you know, if you're having financial struggles, they kind of look at you as not trustworthy and that you'll be willing to do something for money, right? So that jeopardizes that security clearance. That jeopardizes, you know, a job promotion. Let's say you're working for a bank, right? So those are the things that they're looking at, like, oh, are you having financial struggles? Because we need to know, right? Can we trust you? So that's why your financial habits are so important. And this is also why I stress for people to budget. A lot of people don't understand that budgeting is really a part of the whole credit improvement plan. When you budget better, you pay your bills better. When you pay your bills better, your credit score is better. It all goes hand in hand.
Do you do courses on budgeting? Because I know that is a big problem with people where they think that I got $500 in the bank. Let me go on vacation. Meanwhile, their checks have not cleared for X, Y, and Z bills, right? And this is what they do. This is crazy.
Yes, they spend the money even before they have it in hand. Yes, that's very true. So what I do have is I have a course, an online course. It's called Confident Credit, And there is a section on budgeting, how to create a budget that you can actually stick to. So that training is inside the course. And like I said, it is a very important part of maintaining a healthy credit score. That is one strategy that I implement in my life, that I know the money that's coming in and I know exactly what money is going out and when. So when you can strategize like that, you're never wondering like, oh my gosh, I just got paid last week and where's all my money? It happens all the time. I used to feel that way. Like, where'd my check go? You're left with $10 and you can't even go, you know, get some lunch or put gas in your car because you spent it irresponsibly. So budgeting is very, very important in our community. A lot of people tend to stray away from it and feel as though that it's not important. But it's something that you definitely want to implement on a monthly basis. So the next month, you want to have your budget planned out before the first of the month so you know exactly how you're going to allocate your funds.
And should people be budgeting from month to month, or should one budget do it all?
So I have a system that I teach. So what I do is I say you should have a budget for your fixed expenses. So those are your household expenses that you know are kind of like fixed payments. So they're not going to vary, right? You know what your rent is, you know what your mortgage is, you know what your utility. Those are fixed expenses. So I want you to create a budget for that. Then secondly, I want you to create a budget for your variable expenses. So these are your weekly expenses that can tend to go up or down. So maybe you didn't drive as much this week, or you used public transportation, or you're going to bring your lunch instead of eat out, or you are going to have a couple of lunch dates or go to a couple of happy hours. These are your variable expenses. And so I say create a budget for that week and say, hey, for this week, I'm going to allocate, let's say $250. And I'm not, you know, that's going to be for groceries, that's going to be for lunch, that's going to be for gas, whatever your variables are. And once you hit that 250, you can't spend another dime because you've already allocated the funds for that expense. So that's your budget for that. And then lastly, I suggest you create a budget for your savings. So this can be your emergency fund. This can be if you're saving for a course or a coaching program, or if you're saving for a wedding, if you're saving for a vacation. So you want to create a budget that's going to take money out of your check that's going to go towards your savings. So that's how I recommend that you do it, those three buckets. And it's something that is generally easier to stick to.
Seems so simple and basic, right? Seems so simple. Yeah. No, it really does. It really does. So we talked about what credit is. So let's talk about the credit score. You were able to raise up your credit score 400 points in 2 months. Is that right? 400 points in 2 months?
200 points.
200 points in a few months.
In four months.
Okay. So, which I think is phenomenal. So let's talk about what credit score is and, you know, the methods and why that's important when people are looking at it.
Yes. So the credit scoring model is very simple. You just have to learn it and then master it. So there are five key factors that go into the calculation of your credit score. All right. So you want to remember these numbers. You have 35, 30, 15, 10, and 10. So the first key factor that goes into the calculation of your credit score is your payment history. This is the largest percentage of your score. It is 35% of your score. So this is why everyone always stresses, hey, it's important to pay your bills on time all of the time. Like, do not miss one payment, because one late payment can drop your score 100 points. One late payment can drop your score 100 points. So it's very important to ensure you don't miss any important dates. So what I recommend is that you set up auto pay with your bank so that your bills are always paid on time and received on time, so that your credit score has the best chance of improving. Okay, so that's very, very important. You don't want to miss any payments and pay all your bills on time all the time. All right, even if it's just your minimum payment, do not miss a payment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your second key factor is your credit usage. This makes up 30% of your score. This is what a lot of people do not pay attention to. So this is what I focus on the most. Okay. A lot of people do not understand that this has such a huge impact on the credit score, but it's the second largest key factor, 30% of your score. So if your credit cards are constantly maxed out, it's going to severely and negatively affect your credit score. So just reducing your credit usage from 50% to below 20%, you can drastically increase your credit score without doing anything else. Let's say you didn't even remove any negatives yet, right? Just maintaining your credit usage is going to drastically increase your score and very quickly. So a lot of gurus out there recommend keeping your utilization between 30 and 50%. I strongly think that that's too high when my clients see that 700 plus credit scores because they're striving for usage between 7 and 10%. So I am very aggressive, but I also want them to have the benefit of a great credit score. So you have to be responsible in how you are spending. If you spent $100, you got to be willing to pay at least $80 of that $100 when the bill is due to keep your credit usage down. Okay, so I recommend credit usage between 7 and 10% to see the best credit score possible.
Can we pause right there? Credit usage, would that be obviously credit cards, right? Would that be also considered, I don't know, Macy's cards, Home Depot cards? Explain what else, what goes into the credit usage? Yeah.
So your credit usage are going to be on all of your credit cards. So they can be bank credit cards. They can be store credit cards. So those accounts that you have an extension of credit to pay in 30 days are the accounts that you want to pay attention to and keeping those usage down. So yes, that includes your Macy's, your Target, your Home Depot, your Visa, your Navy, Federal, you know, all of those cards are included in this credit utilization.
Very good. Very good. The next number is 15.
Yes. So the third key factor that makes up your credit score is your length of credit history. And this makes up 15% of your score. So the longer you have an account open, the better your credit score. So what the credit score model is looking for is really for you to have 11 years or more of credit history. So for us younger people, or the millennials as well, sometimes your score is not going to be as high because you're just getting started. You just started building your credit history. You're not going to have 10 years of history automatically. So in this case, what you want to do is be added as an authorized user onto, let's say, your parents' account, your grandparents' account. If they have a positive account that's paid on time, you can be added as an authorized user and you will get credit for that credit history. It will hop onto your credit report within 30 days and then you'll see a boost in your credit score extremely quickly. Okay. So you don't want to close any old accounts because that will shorten your credit history, therefore lowering your credit score. So a lot of people are saying, well, I don't use this account anymore. I just want to cut it up, close it, and get rid of it. You can cut it up if you want to, but don't go and close the account because that will shorten your credit history and affect your credit usage as well, therefore lowering your credit score even more.
Can we pause right there? I was going to ask you this. So I got a message, and I often get a message from Best Buy saying because you're not using your account, using my credit, they close the account. So they're closing it for me. Is that negatively affecting my credit score?
Yes. So what you don't want to happen is you don't want to close the account and you definitely don't want the creditor to close the account. One, that will show on your credit report. So it'll show that the credit guarantor actually closed the account. And then two, it shortens your credit history. So you want to maintain usage on all of your accounts. So I go over this in my credit course as well. So you want to be using your credit because they're not going to look at it like, we extend him credit and then he's not going to use it. Well, what does he have it for? So they close it. Another thing that they do is they'll look into your credit profile and see how your payment habits across your other accounts. So if they see that all of your other accounts are maxed out and you're struggling and you're applying for loans all over the place, they're going to possibly close your account too because they don't want to be next, right? They're looking at the high risk factor. So if they see that there's trouble, they're going to take the first step and close the account. If you're not using the account, they're going to close the account because they feel as though they extended you the credit. Why are you not using it? then they're going to take it away from you.
System is rigged.
So that's something that I definitely recommend. You got to use all your credit accounts sometimes. You can't go more than 6 months without using your account.
Six months. Every 6 months, I gotta force myself to buy something from Best Buy. I'll keep that in mind.
I would even say 3 months. But 6 months is safe. But 3 to 6 months, yeah, you definitely don't want to go that long without making a purchase on the car. And it could be something small. You don't have to make a huge purchase. I mean, Best Buy has smaller products as well. They have gift cards. They have, you know, lots of things. So it doesn't have to be a big purchase, but you definitely want to have that activity. Even your regular credit cards, you can even go to the dollar store and swipe it for a dollar, and that'll be your activity for the month. It doesn't have to be large purchases, guys, but it has to be activity, or else they're going to feel as though you don't deserve the credit they've given you.
I can see that, but I just can't see negative. The system is rigged, but let's go on.
It is. But the good thing about it is all you have to do is play the game. That's it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is kind of a backwards system. However, if you know it and you learn it, you can play it right along with them and then be ahead of the game.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Two more numbers, 10 and 10, right?
Yes. So the fourth key factor is new credit, right? So you don't want to apply for too many new accounts in a short period of time. You want to limit your inquiries to 2 credit inquiries within a 2-year time frame. So if you apply for a credit card this month, you want to apply for your home in the next year and a half, right? You want to keep your inquiries at a minimum because you start to look unstable when you apply for too much credit. That makes creditors view you as a high risk. And then they're wondering, is this person having some financial struggles? It's always about the perception of what's going on in your life. And so if you're applying for loans, if you're applying for credit cards and opening them very quickly, they're going to think that there's something wrong. And then the likelihood of you paying it back is going to be slim. So they're not going to extend you that credit with all of these inquiries on your credit report. So that's 10% of your score. So you want to be sure that you're keeping your applications at a minimum and do your shopping for home loans and car loans within a 30-day period. If you keep it within a 30-day period, it would only count as 1 inquiry against you. Okay, so that's a tip you definitely want to keep in mind.
Gotcha. Good stuff.
And then the last key factor number 5, is your credit mix. This is also 10% of your score. So it's good to have a various type mix of credit. Okay, you have your revolving credit, which are like your credit cards, your store cards, and then you have your installment loans, which are your car loans, your personal loans, your student loans, or your mortgage. Okay, so you can have a few retail accounts and then you can have a couple of installment loans, but you need a good mix to show I know how to manage different types of credit. If you have all credit cards on your credit report, that doesn't show the FICO score that you can manage credit. It just knows that you can pay off credit cards. But can you pay off a car loan over a 5-year period of time? Because that's an extended period of time and larger payments. Can you handle student loans that you have to pay off, right? They want to know how well can you manage different types of credit with different responsibilities of repayment. Okay, so using credit and managing credit are 2 different things, and they're judging you on how well you manage your credit.
Wow, that's all good stuff. And that perception that you talked about was people thinking about how well you can manage yourself, manage your ability to pay back is really, really something important. So would you recommend, or do you recommend, that people go out there and try to get more? Obviously, if they're building up their credit, right? You're the credit repair queen. So let's talk about it that way. People are trying to repair their credit. Are they trying to build up their credit? They're trying to repair it. Is it best to get new credit cards or just pay off the old ones? Or how? What do you suggest?
So it's a mixture. It's a mixture, but there's a lot of people that focus on just the negatives. However, you're not going to see an improvement in your score just by removing negatives. So you can pay attention to the negatives. However, that's not where the credit score improvement is going to come from. It's just going to give you a clean canvas. What you want to do is focus on credit building. And so credit building is applying for secure credit cards, is getting installment loans like a student loan or a personal loan, onto your credit report, having that mix of credit, keeping your utilization low. So yes, you definitely do need to focus on adding positive credit to your profile if you want to see the boost in your credit score.
Very good. Very good. So let's talk about how people get in this mess in the first place. What messes up people's credit? Is it because when they were 10 years old, their mother put their mother, you know exactly where I'm going with this, right? Their mother's put their energy bill in their name. What's messing up people's credit?
You know what? There are a variety of factors there. That is one of them, but that's not as prevalent as you would think. Okay. That really isn't it. It really is life situations. What I've seen when clients come to me, it's not that they don't want to pay their bills. You know what I mean? Like, there are very few people out there who are just like, I just don't want to pay any bills. So if you
I'm just not going to pay it.
Of course, in the back of our head, you know, who wants bills? But what I mean is that we are pretty much, you know, responsible people and honest people. So what really happens is life. So it could be a person got laid off from their job and it took them a while to find something else. So they fell behind on all of their payments because they didn't have any income to pay it. They just simply didn't have it. We have people who get into serious bad car accidents. And so they're out on medical leave and then they have all these medical bills that pile up. Insurance doesn't cover everything, and us not knowing how the medical system works, a lot of those bills get unnoticed and they go straight into collections because you never knew that you were responsible for that 10% fee or that 20% fee or that doctor's fee that was separate from, you know, the hospital fee, right? So that is really prevalent. I think medical bills would be number one as far as the negative items that I see on credit reports. So yeah, car accidents, being laid off, a death in the family. I've seen that quite often. A lot of people go into a period of depression. And so they let their bills fall to the wayside, or they're dealing with paying for the funeral. And so their bills get, you know, a backseat. So I would say it's really just life situations. It's never really that a person is just not doing what they're supposed to do. It's really that they're just down on bad times and didn't have the funds to really stay on top of their bills. You know, the recession happened, you know, the housing market crashed, people's mortgages went sky high, people lost jobs. So it was really just life. And when they didn't have the funds to keep on track of with their bills, their credit score took a hit. And then the problem is that they didn't know how to fix it. And so it just spiraled out of control even more. So that's really what I would attribute it to. I don't see often that it's, you know, the mom putting the energy bill in their name. That does happen. But normally they pay it. Like, if they're going to do it, they typically pay it. So even if it's on there, if it's paid, it's okay. And that helps, you know, build your credit score too if it's on time. But it really is just your everyday unfortunate situations that really caused these damaging items to be on your credit report, to be honest with you.
That's good to know that parents are paying their kids' bills or in their name or whatever. And it certainly is sad to hear, you know, I never thought about, you know, you're right, tragedy strikes and they just don't have it. And they just don't have it. So let's continue with this stuff about they don't have it. Student loans, right? A lot of millennials, and not just millennials. I went back to school when I'm considered a Gen Xer, 46. I went back to school in my late 30s, early 40s, right, to finish my education. So I had to take out some student loans as well. I mean, I was able to pay them off because I had a job and everything like that. But I do know that student loan is crushing people. My daughter's 21. She's just right now applying to finish her associate's degree, but now she wants to go to a 4-year university and eventually for her master's. And I know that she's going to have to pay for that. You know, and so this is crushing people. This is going to people's credit scores. Is it ruining their credit?
Yes. Yes and no. So student loans is one of the largest burdens out there for sure. that is something that, you know, I'm still even paying my student loans because I did go to grad school as well and got my master's. So, you know, it's a lot of money out there that needs to be paid back. And you have to. That is one bill or one expense that just has to be paid back, right? And so it is really a problem because some people are not able to find jobs that pay them well enough to be able to handle that student loan payment, right? So there are some rehabilitation programs out there. However, if your account is in deferment or forbearance and you're not making payments on it right now, it is not negatively affecting your credit score. So a lot of people come to me and they're like, oh my God, Stephanie, my score is low because of all these student loans. No, it is something else. Just because you have a student loan on your credit doesn't mean that it's negative. It's not negatively affecting your credit score if it is being paid or if it is deferred. It is only negatively affecting your credit score if it went to collections, you're not making your payments, or something like that. Otherwise, it's okay to have it on your credit report because it's a part of your credit mix. It's an installment loan, right? But if it's deferred or, you know, in a positive payment status, it's okay. So the problem is that those payments tend to be on the higher end and you just can't manage those payments. So I would recommend reaching out to the student loan provider and seeing if there's a rehabilitation program you can enter in where they'll give you a lower rate for you to pay back those funds. And once you get back into that program, they'll remove those negatives from your credit report.
Very good. Very good. Many people have cell phones and cell phone plans. Is that good? Is that affecting people's credit score if they're late or get them repossessed or whatever goes on with that? And if you put other people on it, you know, your cousin, your friend, is that a good idea to put people on there?
Okay. So that's a good question. So the only time a cell phone is a problem is if you cancel the plan and you don't pay, you know, the ending fee or the fee that for the phone. So that's the only time it really hops onto your credit report. But if you have a plan and you're making your monthly payments, it does not show on your credit report. It only shows if it's negative, like you did not pay at the end of your plan or something like that, and they want their money. So that's really what creditors' points are. That's the only reason why that information is even ever on your credit report, is because they want you to pay them. So they know if it's negatively hurting you, then more than likely you're going to pay them to get it, you know, so that it's not negatively hurting you as much. So that's really the purpose of it. So you don't see cell phones on there very often unless, again, you're just switching from provider to provider and you don't pay your plan. I don't recommend adding family members and things like that onto your plan because you don't know how responsible they are financially. Again, it always goes back to your financial habits. And so I found that sometimes, you know, you put a cousin on and then they didn't pay the bill. And when that plan gets canceled, you're responsible for it. So it's going to hop onto your credit report and then it's going to be negative for you and drop your credit score. So I highly advise against that. Even co-signing for vehicles, co-signing for loans, it has to be like a life or death situation or like, you know, your grandma that you trust with your life. But other than that, I really don't recommend co-signing for anyone, especially, you know, like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or things like that. I tend to advise clients to stay away from that. Because you don't know people's financial habits. You only know what you're responsible for. And you don't want to be held responsible for that debt because you will be. As long as your name is on that application, you will be responsible. And there's no way you can go to them and say, oh, well, it was for my cousin, you know, Cynthia, and she didn't pay it. So can you go after her? No, it's going to be on your credit report. So I highly advise against that. But again, as long as you're making your payments on time, that's something you do not have to worry about.
That is some powerful, powerful stuff. I watch a lot of Judge Judy, and I know the people. I know that people should not co-sign for loans. I want to tell you a quick story. I know people want to tune in to hear you, but I got to tell this quick story. So this is an absolute true story that happened to me. So I'm not going to say people's names, but So one day, people came to me after church, the church I was going to, and I was much younger, 24, 25 or something like that. And they asked me to bring them to the car dealership to just look at cars. So and they didn't have a car. So I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. You know, I'll pick you up Saturday morning. We'll go down, we'll take a look at cars. And that's, listen, this is all they said. I didn't misinterpret anything. They just wanted me to be their ride to go look at cars. Okay, no problem. Right. So we go down there. I get them. We go to the dealership. They're walking around doing their thing. I see them talking to the dealership. They test drive a car, all the kind of stuff. I'm just kind of hanging out, sitting in my car, walking around the lot, looking at other cars and things like that. So fast forward, they find a car that they want. They go in there and they have a conversation with the guy, and they're about to sign the paperwork. And next thing I know, they come outside and they start waving me down. Hey, Lawrence, come here. So I'm like, okay, everything's good. I walk in the office. Yeah, everything's good. We all said, you guys good to go. I'm smiling, happy for them. They got a car. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, everything is good. Just sign right here. I'm like, what? I'm like, what? I'm like, listen, I had to say it as nice as I can. I don't co-sign, man. I can't do that. I can't co-sign. And so I did not co-sign. And let me tell you, so they did not end up getting the car. And I tell you, and of course, I was their ride, so I brought them back home. Not one word was spoken the whole ride back. I mean, but I didn't care. I mean, I didn't care. I was not going to. I was not going to co-sign for it. Was crazy. It was crazy that they did that. Try to trick me into that.
Yes. And I'm glad that you actually stuck your ground, because so many people don't. So I hear it all the time. Oh, I co-signed for my brother, but now we don't talk because they didn't pay their bill. And I'm stuck with that car loan, and it's upside down, and it got repossessed. I hear it all the time. So I'm really glad that you stuck your ground, because a lot of people get bamboozled into that. Oh no, I'll pay. I'll be sure I pay it. You know, just do this one thing for me and sign. And no. You never want to co-sign. You just can't. It's something you can't do. You don't need an explanation. You just can't do it. Okay.
I've always looked at it like, if you didn't pay the bank, if you didn't pay X, why would you pay me? And these people can sue you. I mean, these are corporations. And you didn't pay the corporation. Why would you pay me? You know, so that's, so yeah, it's crazy, crazy.
Kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And so talk a little bit about some of your products that you have, some of the seminars, webinars that you do. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. I have plenty of training. So I have the How to Achieve a 700 Plus Credit Score Masterclass. That can be found on any of my social media pages. You can find me on Instagram at the Credit Repair Queen. You can click the link in my bio and get access to that masterclass. So like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people focus on removing the negatives, but not enough focus on credit building. So that masterclass training is going to be all of the exact resources you need to boost your credit score, to see that credit score improvement. All of the products you're going to need, every application you need to fill out, all the steps. So all of the steps you need to actually boost your credit score. And then I also have my online course. My online course is Confident Credit. So the currency of having confident credit, like we talked about, is so powerful. It's more powerful than having money in the bank, like we mentioned earlier. So you can get access to my online course as well. And that really is the entire roadmap of my 5-step formula from taking your credit score from where it is and allowing you to boost your credit score up to 200 points. So if you follow those steps, you'll be able to do both. Write dispute letters to the credit bureaus, remove those negatives, and add positive credit to your profile. So it's a comprehensive program. You get access to a private Facebook group as well with other people on their credit improvement journey. And it's a very, very powerful course. It's like having me coaching you personally, because it's my step-by-step process as well.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you so much for all the information. You were, I enjoyed the conversation. I hope that someone gets something out of it. I also want to, I don't know many of these other people, but as I looked in your LinkedIn account, I see that you are on a number of other podcasts. So I want to kind of push them. You were on the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. You were on Truck and Hustle podcast. The Millennial Dreamers podcast. I did actually hear you on there. I did check that episode out. And yes. Of course, as I mentioned, my friend Cameron Norfleet, the investors, the Realtors Investors podcast.
Yeah, Cameron is awesome.
Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy. So I want to give him another shout out.
Well, I'm always teaching. It is my mission. It's my passion. And so I'm always teaching. So there's always a class. There's always a webinar. There's always a training. I will be doing my 700 plus credit score challenge. So you can look out for that. And then I'll be hosting a workshop on how to start your own credit repair business if you're interested in earning an extra stream of income. And then I'll be hosting a meetup workshop, a live workshop. So if you want to come out and learn more about improving your credit and possibly starting your own business, I'm doing a workshop. And again, just connect with me in my private Facebook group. It's called the First Class Credit Society, and that's where I release the details to all of my trainings and upcoming workshops and whatever's going on as well. So you can find me on Instagram at the Credit Repair Queen, and you can join my private Facebook group, which is the First Class Credit Society, where I give tips, tricks, tools, strategies all day, every day.
Very good. Thank you so much for all the information. Thank you for what you're doing, helping the community to better themselves. That way we can all be better together. Let's just end this off with, we talked a lot about the personal aspects of it, but let's talk about the business aspects of it. People repair their credit, and now they want to start their businesses, not only credit repair businesses, as you mentioned, they want to open up a restaurant, they want to buy, whatever they want to do. Talk about the importance of all that.
Yes. So if anyone wants to start a business, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you can actually build business credit, even if you have personal credit challenges right now, okay? So you can develop a separate credit profile strictly for your business using your federal tax ID number. So you have to get incorporated, okay? So that's number one. So come up with a company name, go to your Secretary of State, find out if that name is taken, and then you want to register with the Secretary of State. Next, you want to get an EIN number. You will go to the IRS website, which is www.irs.gov. and complete the application to get your EIN number. It takes about 3 minutes, and you get the EIN number right away. And those are the documents you want to take and open up a business bank account. So those are the very first steps you want to do with whatever business you're thinking about starting, because building business credit will take you so far. And again, you can start this process even if you have personal credit challenges, because you can build business credit without a personal credit check or a personal guarantee. So I always, always advise just even my friends, other people in the community, like, what are you good at? What do you want to do? Like on the side, you know, yes, you have a 9-to-5, but we should be having additional streams of income because things are hard. You know, it's one check is not going to cut it. You know, we need to be establishing a legacy for our children, a better financial future for them. So I always say, you know, what can you do on the side and earn an additional stream of income? And if you found something you like to do, go ahead and get the business started. Register your LLC, get your EIN, open your bank account, and then start building your business credit.
Awesome. Good information. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on Captain Hunter's podcast. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Lawrence. It was a wonderful time, and I really appreciate being here.
Okay. Thank you so much. Once again, I want to thank my special guest, Ms. Stephanie Lawrence, for coming on Captain Hunter's podcast, The Credit Repair Queen. I truly hope that you all learned something today. Make sure that if you have your own personal credit challenges, that you reach out to her, look her up on Facebook and the information that she gave, Instagram, her email, all that kind of stuff. Make sure you look her up. And if you have any questions, be sure to reach out to her. Also remember that she helps people to become those credit repair specialists themselves, so you can earn a little extra on the side. Please make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share these episodes. Follow me Instagram, Twitter, CPTL Hunter, Facebook, Captain Hunter's podcast on Facebook. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, much love and peace.